teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. If you're tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, the U.S., Canada, worldwide online, we welcome you today to the program. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. You can call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio, Twitter at agradio1, Instagram, Abounding Grace Radio. So many ways to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. And we are so thankful to all of our listeners for continuing to support this broadcast. You can do that right online at agradio.org. And we thank you in advance for all of your support, which helps us take the gospel to the ends of the earth, as we were commanded to do in the Great Commission. We're so thankful for this opportunity. Today on Abounding Grace, you are jumping right into with us halfway at a discussion in Romans chapter 5. This is such an important discussion with Dr. R. Scott Clark as we consider and are working through on Fridays this wonderful book of Romans. Today we're looking at the great truth of as the first Adam all fell, in the last Adam, Jesus Christ, all who believe can be declared righteous by his perfect life. We are so thankful tuned in today to the broadcast. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Of nature, covenant of life, whatever, however we want to put it, or the commandment of life, you're either under that principle of the do this and live principle. So your atheist, unbelieving neighbor who says, ah, who believes that stuff? That's crazy. It's wives' tales and old stories. And we all know that couldn't possibly be true.
But hold that thought. They all live, though, believing that to get to heaven, they have to do good.
Yeah, to whom?
Right?
Yeah.
We've been wrestling with this the whole time in Romans. There's the theology of I can do it myself, right? Well, that shows you're in Adam. You're not listening to what's said. You're already done in him.
Ask your atheist neighbor, let's assume there was, for the sake of discussion, let's say there's a heaven, how would you present yourself? On what basis? And I guarantee you, your atheist neighbor will tell you what a good person he is. Mm-hmm. And why does he think that's important? He thinks that's important because he knows in his conscience that he's obligated to God. And so he's suppressing that knowledge of God. He's holding it down, but he's always also being convicted by it. And the other thing that we mustn't miss here is that Paul's answering this fundamental question, what is the ultimate problem of both Jews and Gentiles? This covers everybody. Yeah. It covers Gentiles, right? Because all these people were Gentiles prior to Abraham's circumcision. They're all Gentiles. And so all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, who are in Adam, are under the law and under condemnation. And the law is saying to us, do this and live. And this is what Paul had said in Romans 2:13. It's not the hearers of the law, whether it's the natural law, right? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody knows that by nature. Or the Mosaic law. It all says the same thing. And it says, do and live. And if you haven't done and lived, right? If you haven't done, you're not going to live. And you haven't done, you can't do. That's the whole point of understanding sin. So if you're driving home or driving to work or whatever you're doing, listening to this, right, working around the house, you need to understand that you can't do it. You're not going to do it. You say to yourself, oh, I'll do better tomorrow. It's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is too late. If you're saying, I'll do better tomorrow, yeah, I know I blew it today, but I'll do better tomorrow, and I'm sure the Lord will. No, don't tell yourself that. I'm sure the Lord will accept. No, he won't.
Right. And I think that after this long discussion here on the relationship we have in Adam, now Paul's ready to lead us to, he says something really glorious here. Adam was a type of the one who was to come.
Yeah.
So if you say and you stand back from this and say, this is just awful, that you guys are all saying that I'm guilty in Adam, that whatever he did, I'm accountable for, and that's why death has come. And if you dislike all that, then you're missing what the ultimate objective is and goal here. His goal is to say, God didn't leave us in this mess. God gave us another Adam. God gave us the last Adam, who is his son. And that's where he goes now when he says, listen, the free gift is not like the trespass.
But if you're chafing under this truth about Adam, right, that's an indicator. And you need to think about that, listener. And you frankly, you need to, you're prideful and you need to repent and recognize the greatness of your sin and misery. Because Paul labors over this for a reason, because he knows that his readers and listeners are chafing. But you're exactly right, Chris. This all leads to good news. Verse 14, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who, and this here's the good news, was a type of the one who was to come. What's a type, Chris?
Yeah, we're looking at a shadowy figure. In other words, he shows us something. Now, this is remarkable because in Adam, we look at Adam and we see failure. But he also is showing us this representative function as we look at the Adam to come.
A type is an illustration.
Yeah.
It's a shadowy anticipation and illustration, right, that isn't entirely clear, but the outlines are there. So think of somebody, maybe if you're at a show or something, and an entertainer, I think of, you know, I'm of the age where I think of Johnny Carson coming out from behind the curtain onto the stage, and you see, you know, kind of the outline of the figure. That outline is a shadow. It's a type. It's a suggestion of what's to come. And Adam was kind of an outline, a shadow, a type,
but,
an illustration of what was to come.
But in an entirely different way.
Yeah.
This is one federal head
and a second federal head. So you have a system of two federal heads.
Two federal heads, but listen to this. For if many died through one man's trespass, okay, here's the difference. Here's the radical difference.
This is verse 15.
Yeah, this is verse 15. So he says, the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, so we're at the first Adam, we're looking at complete failure. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So what he's saying here is this. He's saying, listen, in Adam, as you said, all sinned, all died. Every single human being fell in Adam. But the gift that God has given, the free grace of that has comes by what we call the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And what has he done? Well, that's exactly what Paul is explaining here. He came, he didn't fail. He came, he fulfilled righteousness. He came, he kept the law. And then the marvel of it all is that he actually became the curse and actually paid for the sins that happened under the first Adam for all whom he represents. Now you stand back and say, well, doesn't Jesus represent everyone? And the answer to that is no. Jesus represents those who believe in him. This is why the gospel ministry is calling people to faith. If you have faith in Jesus, you are brought out of the old Adam and into the new Adam, the last Adam.
It's important that the listener know that when you say the last Adam, you're not making up a category.
Right.
This is the language of the Apostle Paul. It's the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, right? That's 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, and that last Adam about whom he's speaking, that is Jesus Christ. So as the Apostle Paul understands the whole flow of the history of salvation, it is structured by two Adams, the first Adam, right, who sinned, and the last Adam, the final Adam, all right? The word there is, I think, I need to get my Greek text in front of me, is, I think, eschatos, right?
It's the
final Adam. There isn't any other Adam. And so there are these two great Adams. And so this is why we say you're either in the first Adam, right, which we all are by nature, or you're in the second Adam, who is the Savior, and you're only in the second Adam by God's free favor, through faith alone, by the work of the Holy Spirit.
Now think of this. Think of this wonderful thing that's said then in verse 16. I it's so wonderful. Again, it's like we looked at last time. So it just keeps building and building. But listen to what he says. And the free gift. So when you sinned in Adam, you say, "Well, I wasn't there. It was imputed to me. I'm counted a sinner." That doesn't seem fair. Do you really want to say that? No. Because listen to what he's saying now. Yeah. In the last Adam, guess what is the result of his work that you haven't done, that you haven't earned, that you didn't ask for?
Personally, you haven't
personally,
done any of these things, yeah.
It is a free gift. Now, what is the free gift? Listen to what he says. The free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. What he's saying there is, what happened in Adam, look at the fall, look what God said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Death followed, condemnation and judgment followed. But listen, in Jesus, the free gift follows. Listen to what this says. This is just wonderful, Scott. The free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Now that is absolutely moving, isn't it? It brought the declaration, a legal, remember you mentioned the legal representation and the relationship that we have. There's also a legal category in relation to Jesus here that's being right. emphasized. That in other words, when you believe in him and have trusted in him, you are legally declared righteous as a free gift of his work for you that you never asked for, that you never merited, that you never did. All that God said, I have decided to give you the best gift that could ever be given as a result of the work of my son for you.
Your baptism didn't do it. Your good works didn't do it. Your cooperation with grace didn't do it. Nothing that you've done did it. Jesus did it for you. And Paul says in verse 15, the free gift.
Yeah, it can't be that free.
It is.
What is that? What do you mean? Nothing's free in this life, Scott. Come on. I've listened to that that pitch too many times, right? I've had too many offers given to me, right?
That President Reagan said there's no such thing as a free lunch, and that's true. Now it is true, especially in economics and in this life. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and it's true here too. Jesus paid for your lunch,
right?
To carry on the metaphor,
right? So. In other words,
it's been paid for.
It was a transaction was made.
And real righteousness was accomplished. And that real actual righteousness, and to put it in technical medieval terms, condign merit was earned. And, all right. If we have a listener who has a Roman background and really paid attention in catechism, right, that category might make some sense. Jesus' condign merit is credited to you. You don't have any condign merit. You don't have any congruent merit of yourself. You don't have any kind of merit of yourself.
What he's saying is you can't earn anything.
You can't earn anything, and not even by cooperating. You know, Ben Franklin says, God help those who help themselves, and there were medieval theologians who said that, and arguably Arminius said that, the Remonstrant said that. It's all false. The free gift, Paul says, Romans 5:15, is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, and of course that if... The assumption is that, yes, that's what happened. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. That's why we call this program Abounding Grace.
Stop. I wish I had a bell. Sometimes on your old program, you used to have a bell, and you go, ding, 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 knock, 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 knock. Did you hear, dear listener?
I will bring that in. I meant to bring the cowbell.
The cowbell. I have a cowbell. We'll do that. This is the aha moment. This is the light bulb moment. I mean, honestly, this is exactly the kind of stuff when I was in college, Scott, and I'm sitting, going through the book of Romans, and one day I had pastors say this my whole life, right? And I just didn't listen. My heart was hard. One day, it clicked. Wait a minute. This is all free. Did you hear what's being said to you? This is a free gift earned for you by Jesus that he's graciously giving you so that you can have a place with the Lord in glory forever, completely forgiven, never to face judgment or wrath. This is the best news ever announced that could be given. And I understand right now that unless the Holy Spirit opens the listener's heart, this is going to pass right over. And hopefully at one point someone will come along and say it, and then the Lord will make it open the heart, and all of a sudden it will click. But I'm hoping right now it's clicking for you, dear listener, as you're hearing this. Free gift by grace, by which you're justified by faith and have everything you need to be righteous with God and never know his wrath and judgment.
You came forward at a Greg Laurie revival, but that's not why God accepted you. if you really believed, it's because God the Holy Spirit raised you from death to life and gave you new life and true faith. That's a free gift. It's free. It's unconditional. It's to you, it's unconditional. It's paid for by someone else. That's why the gospel is good news. It's not that Jesus died to make it possible for you to do your part. That's not good news, especially if what Paul says is true, and what Paul says is true, that you were born dead in sins and trespasses. So he wants you to understand the marvelous, free, unconditional gift of God to helpless dead sinners in Jesus Christ.
For if because, verse 17, of one man's trespass, again, he's saying this in just the same way over and over so we get it. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. So you understand that. If through Adam, when he sinned in the Garden of Eden and not, took of the fruit, right?
Not illness.
Right.
Not illness.
No, trespass. Broke death. The law. Death. Death. Death reigned through that one man. Now, here's the contrast. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So what a, how do you even comprehend the marvel of that? I mean, seriously, death reigned through one man, and the other man, what do you get? An abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. That's going to reign in your life when you have Jesus. See why we're saying, dear listener, believe today. See why we have pastors set up on every hill who if they're doing their job, are saying, believe the gospel. This is what the benefit is. This is what he's giving you. And this is life.
If you're driving around or whatever you're doing and you're worried about the state of the country and you think, what are we going to do about this crazy country? It's going insane, right? Well, this is it right here, right?
You just heard it.
Nothing is going to change the culture, if that's what your concern is. Nothing is going to change the culture except this message.
Here's a beautiful thought that, you know, when Paul looks at Adam here, you notice that every single race is included in this.
Yeah, we're all in here.
And so that there's no division here in this. In other words, we all have one Father.
Yep.
If we're looking at this, right? Really, one race under heaven.
We're all in Adam.
We're all in Adam.
So whatever your ethnicity, right, whatever your economic status, right? Well, however
you're... I just raise that because think of all the divisions today, yeah, over this. Here's this. You said it. Well, here's the solution. It's also the solution to also all the racial division in our country.
Whatever your identity, right? Your first identity, we're going to talk about identity politics. Identity is that you're an Adam. And if you're a believer, your second identity and your new identity is that you're in Christ.
One in Christ.
Right? And that's all why Paul says in Galatians 3, and he also says in Ephesians 5, in Christ, there's no Jew, no Gentile, no slave, no free, no male, no female, no Scythian, no barbarian, right? I'm synthesizing Ephesians and Galatians, right? There's a fundamental unity that we have together in Christ, right? We all have our individual historical backgrounds, and those are real, and we're not saying that that doesn't matter. But what matters more, and what matters most, is our first identity in Adam, and more importantly than that, is our new identity in Christ. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ you are a new creation.
Right. So what he does here, as we're anticipating, we have a few more minutes here, he explained all that. So think of verse 12. He started with this thought, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then he goes in to explain that. Now he comes back to that in verse 18, yeah, to with the other side of the parenthesis here. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so, here it is, one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. So now he's concluding that initial thought. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So comment on that. The one man's obedience, you're telling me that, okay, Adam represented me. He made the choice to eat the tree. We all fell into sin. We all died. Our children are subject to this just as much as we are as adults. But wait, this man's obedience then gives me everything that I need?
That's what I just said. That's what Paul says. That's what Scripture says. The one act of obedience. Well, what was that one act of obedience? Well, it was his whole life. So Jesus came and actively did what Adam refused to do. And he came and actively did what Adam refused to do as the last Adam. So where Adam was tempted and he gave in, Jesus was taken out into the wilderness, and the evil one tempted him directly and took him up to the high places and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, yeah, just bow the knee to me, and I will give you all of this. It was the exact same thing. Because that's essentially what the evil one offered us in the garden. And we said, sure, we'd like that. We want to be just like God. We want to be in charge of everything. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to obey my Father. I'm going to love him with all my faculties and my neighbor as myself, even if it requires my death. And of course, it does require my death. And he did that for you. He did that for you, believer. He did that for all of his people. That's how much he loved. And every day of his life, he was actively obeying God's holy law. And he never did anything except obey that law with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved God with all of his faculties, his Father, and he loved you with all of his faculties. Unlike us. We refused. We had the opportunity. Looming ahead of us was heaven and glory and fellowship symbolized by the tree of life. And we chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We chose to violate that covenant, to break that law, to transgress that commandment of life.
So, dear listener, then we close this show by saying to you, if you're in Christ, then you are no longer under that previous condemnation and legal relationship of the first Adam. So now what does that mean for us? This is what we're going to look at next time. When we sin, when we still struggle, we need to understand that Jesus has paid for it all and covers us so that no longer judgment reigns, no longer condemnation reigns or dominion in sin reigns over us. Now, being in the last Adam, righteousness and life is what is promised to us, and that is something he will give us.
And that means that everything Jesus did is credited to you, and it is as if you yourself personally had done everything that Jesus did. And that's how God sees you. And even when you sin, and you do sin every day in many ways, you do not fall back under condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Now that's a news to die for. How's that for an ending?
There you go.
That's good news. That's the best news that could be announced. And we're so thankful for this opportunity on Abounding Grace to proclaim it to you. We pray and trust you'll believe it, for this is life to you. Thanks for tuning into the program today. Thank you to Dr. R. Scott Clark, always, for his excellent insights on Abounding Grace Radio. And next time we'll come back and we'll get into this chapter 6, which has so many rich things to say now about Christian life and living. Hey, Scott, one last pitch here before we close the program today. We started with the Rosaria Butterfield. We also want to close with one more brief. Okay, you cannot do a long commercial. You have 30 seconds to tell us about this great event that we have planned on July 26th.
This is such an outstanding opportunity to hear a thoughtful, intelligent discussion of these issues in a way that you can understand. Everybody can understand what Rosaria is saying and going to say. I really encourage you to come here. Rosaria Butterfield, From Victim to Guest, Sexuality, Intersectionality, and Hospitality. She's not just pointing out problems, not just telling stories, but she's offering a practical solution, a way to relate to our alienated neighbors and talk about these things in a very down-to-earth way that's grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So July 26th, 7 p.m., Escondido, agradio.org/Rosaria. You need to register now. It's only $25, and you will be glad you did.
agradio.org/Rosaria. Make sure you visit that. We'd love to see you on July 26th. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.